You're informative.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Everyone is Addicted. Today's guest, Heather Ann, is here to talk about her knowledge and her experience with addiction. So, take it away, Heather, and tell us a little bit about yourself and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. So, I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. If anybody's ever come, back in the 80s, you imagine the blue collar steel city. And my parents were high school sweethearts. They married young. Yeah. And they married with a lot of generational traumas. And that wasn't even a word we listened to or
No,
heard back
even in
then.
the I was born in the late 80s, and that was trauma wasn't even a word.
No, trauma wasn't even a word. So, there were situations that happen in life. That happens in every family system. And for my the two pivotal moments for me was my father, when I was 7 years old, lost his job from the family business, which caused a lot of confusion, disruption. Obviously, this deals with money, this
This
deals
is
with
where my
stability.
family's at right now, honestly, pretty close, because my spouse lost his job, and same thing. My kids are about the same age as you were, so oh yeah, I get the confusion. I see it in my kids' eyes too, so I know it can't be easy, or it couldn't
Yeah,
be.
so that stability. So what happens is when there is disruptions, the children mask up. They take on a lot of traumas that the parents aren't aware of at the time because they're dealing with so many stresses, and this starts to shape them differently, unfortunately. And so that was one. And then when I was 8 years old, my mother would come into my bedroom in the mornings when I was getting ready for school, and she would abruptly take my hairbrush, start to brush my hair aggressively, throw it, start to strangle me, screaming horrific things to me. And this started a nightmare,
That
obviously,
would
every morning.
start a crazy traumatic nightmare. Anytime you hear a noise at night, you'd think you would jump, even if your mother wasn't home. Like, my gosh, that's like scary, 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 like a horror movie.
It is
Something
like a horror
definitely
movie,
bad.
and it changed everything about me. So my whole life changed after that. I had to really figure out how to survive with this woman that switched mental states, and there was no definition, and nobody was a witness, and nobody was aware. Because I think we're learning more and more right now that how people are on screen may not be how they are off screen. And so if we need to be like, that's why I have a book series coming out. That's why I have programs coming on my store. And that's why I spent so much time on my website to really give people just a little taste of my psychology and my work.
Well,
So that, yeah.
I'm just saying it's very true about what you said about what people on screen and off screen. Even I was at a meeting, and this woman on screen says, "I want a homestead. I don't use any cleaning products with toxins. I eat only organic," made like she was very clean living, and then she was smoking. And I was like, oh, I sat there being envious of you when you were really just pretending on screen, because if you were really so into health, you wouldn't be smoking, right? And then it really put it in perspective, and I can see the psychology aspect is that I spent a lot of time feeling very envious and not as good as her because of the way she was able to live, and I didn't live that way. So I can really see how deep that goes within me, and I know it, everybody feels like that. So a series of I like to read psychology books. That is really interesting. So how exactly do they work? Like, are they
Well,
work for?
I think what you just brought up is a very important message, is that like the books that I'm writing, like my book one that's coming out soon, it has a manual at the end of after each chapter. And the manual is about 20 different spiritual psychology questions that deal with family patterns. It deals with your feelings about certain situations. It deals with healing the inner child, because I believe addiction comes from some sort of root within the inner child, whether it's this life or past
Why?
life. And then it starts to introduce medical meditations, meditations that have clinical studies that have been done. And it starts to introduce different holistic tools because in my journey of severe, brain damage, generational traumas, and sugar addiction, I had to go outside the box instead of being over-medicated, being labeled PTSD, being labeled all these things, and learn ancient sciences that I believe need to be in the forefront of mental health. So what these book manuals do is they give my practical stories, but then they ask you your stories and your questions so you can become your own scientist. And then I,
Figure
you know,
yourself
what,
out. Yeah.
and then teaching the programs, but so it's really complicated because I've had such a diverse lens as a healer, as a having so much trauma with myself, being in systems that I see the same issues. And one thing that I hope to bring in the future with a business team that I'm attracting in is we have to start empowering people with tools. And really that comes from rewiring your brain. What water are you drinking? Is your household have healing things in it? What's your lifestyle like? And you can
Because
listen
I
to.
have shade right here. I don't know if you can
Yeah,
see
yeah,
it.
yeah. You can listen to stories and you can be inspired, and that's a wonderful thing. But when we become obsessed with listening to people all day long, that means we are addicted. We are addicted outside of ourselves. We're avoiding what we need to heal, or we need to empower, or we need to, sort of wake up. And I fear, as much as I think there's benefits to social media, I think for children, there's a lot of non-benefits to it. It's become an
Yes.
addiction tool, and they
It
don't know how to
also
keep.
teaches them, from just my perspective of having an 8-year-old, oh, you need to have these kind of clothes. You need to have this kind of toys. You need to talk like this. You need, like, even by the way that they say, like, their slang and everything. And the games are set up to sound like, what you call it, gambling. So then they
Yeah.
have that aspect, plus all the predators. Like, it's crazy. Like, things
Yeah.
that even I see an 8-year-old that we have to monitor. Oh my gosh. It's
Yeah, yeah,
definitely
yeah.
not good. I'm
It's
glad I
not
grew up in a
good.
generation without that. I really do.
Yeah, as much as I had so much trauma from my mom's instability, I think my saving grace was me and my brother playing outside in the forest all day long. And,
Your imagination to kind of escape.
using the imagination, forming a relationship with trees, the soil, picking
Grounding.
bl blackberries, knowing that there was blackberries that you could eat. Now we've poisoned everything, especially in the state of PA. We're saturated with chemicals on our lawns. All this is a systemic of what? It's a systemic of disconnect, and that's what addiction, in my definition, is. It's a disconnect from your soul, and some people don't even realize they have a soul. And when you have so much trauma from being hit or sexually abused,
You block it
these
out. It's like your shadow self.
energies that are dark can really come in, and they can sort of, it's like a parasite. Like, it's shocking, but we have three parasites in American tap water, and one can cut the blood barrier of the brain. Parasites have their own, like, they're the ones saying, go in the cupboard and eat that sugar. Go eat the sugar. It's time to eat. So there's a reality to parasites because you can see them under a science lab, but there's also energetic parasites that you can't see. So there's the known and the unknown, and so
And a lot of
for
people, like you said, don't even want to look and think about the unknown. To them, they'd rather keep it in a box over here, because the fear of it, and that's where a lot of trauma stems from, is fear. And then you're just adding more fear. And like, because I did work in the holistic healing field for a long time, and people can even become addicted to that at times too, and
Oh,
want.
sure.
Like I
Yeah.
did tarot readings a lot of the time, right, for retreats and stuff, and people would call me constantly about, can you read my cards? 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 I even have a lady right now that messaged me 7 times this morning because I don't even have my cards right now, but I can read people, especially if I know them. So she wants to know this stuff, but she's sleeping with a married man. So well, I don't want her to answer your questions, and you're addicted to it. You sent me 7 messages this morning, like by 9 a.m.
I think
And
that's really brilliant what you just said, and I'm grateful for this conversation because that's why, I mean, I'm a psychic medium, but I don't use it in that sense because of my spiritual principles. I think we need to get back to understanding what karma is, cause and effect. We need to understand spiritual principles with money and with our actions. And I think you're right, the tarot reading has gotten way out of control.
Well, I used to.
And in the essence, it's like, you know, even when people would come to me because they know I'm connected to something of light, they can feel it, they can see it. They know that I'm connected to the divine mother, the woman who's created
Come to
Mother
you
Earth.
just and then start opening up. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I want to help them, but they need to do homework and they need to do to evolve. And so, you know, you have those two different types of students. You have that student that comes in and they've done their journaling and they've done their rewire, you know, and they're like, this came up, and you're doing the work and they're looking at their breath and their structure of their body and they're understanding this is the tool, right? This is the tool. And then you have those people that come in and they're like, well, what did the Divine Mother say? Or what do I need to? And that sort of obsession with somebody telling you is actually not helping you. It's enabling you. It's feeding the addiction of being outside of yourself. And I think as a society, especially I'm sort of contracted with America. I was born in PA. I'm supposed to help the United States with trauma. So I speak a lot of it, even though I've had clients all over the world and love working with them. But we have to come to a point where our leaders have to say, no, we need different systems. We need systems that people are smart, getting smarter, where people can deal, like we're being traumatized after trauma,
Right,
after trauma,
teaching
after
the right
trauma.
tools to deal with the traumas that compile every day because
Well,
life
not
is
even
so
just
much
deal
harder.
and heal them, but also become empowered that you're not feeding the system, that you're not actually financially feeding the system, which I see all over the place.
That's
You know
why
what I mean?
that's why I can't stand. I always say in government, we don't really have control because it's all run by the super rich. And so whoever's in power is just getting paid by the
Right.
super rich to run their agenda. And people look at
Right.
me and go, oh, I'm like, honestly, that is how it is. So why feed into it and get so mad and try to run these fundraisers for addiction when the money doesn't even go there? Or when it came out.
Absolutely.
When it came out that they were like with the children and oh, give the money to the children in Africa, and it came out that the churches were keeping the money and weren't sending it. Like it's just like you said, it's trauma because I wouldn't want to be a person who had said like who knows like $5,000 to some child because I think I'm helping them, and really it went to like some rich church person, you know what I mean? Like one of the heads of state of church or whatever.
And what
I would feel
you're bringing
devastated.
up, you're like validating a lot of my journey of seeing how it's a programming that we're programmed by Hollywood, social media, the elite, and we're programmed in a way, I believe, to support predatorial systems and energies that convince you that they're doing the right thing, but nobody's checking the numbers. You know, it's kind of like I bring up because I'm on a water mission. People can read about that on Facebook. I'm pushing buttons with different things. But, you know, the real Erin Brockovich is very different than the movie version. And I don't think she had a say. That's the first question I would ask her is, did you think they were going to paint you out to be kind of dumb with your breast sticking out? Because that's not who she is at all. She's
No, I
highly
know.
intelligent, highly spiritual, and she's always in the states that there's a water disaster, asking questions, but nothing actually gets solved to fix it. And so, you know, it is about the numbers. And I saw corruption even like in senior homes, and I
Oh,
was in
yeah.
an alternative clinic that got closed down. And so the numbers matter. And what
Big
I try
fear.
to empower the public is not only do you have to do work to become empowered, and it is a full-time job. Don't think that like you can just let
Yeah, you
somebody
jump
fix
in and
it.
do it.
It's not going to happen.
Because
But
I already
then You need to start strategizing of how you're using your money. And so for me, like when I was working, like I was reading your background and it reminded me of who I was 15 years ago. I was working in shelters. I was helping women who were being over-medicated. I was who, and then it got to a point where I was like, this isn't going to fix the bigger picture. I'm being depleted, which is a problem. If I'm a master healer, a master teacher of trauma, I better be able to do 2 to 3 hours of self-care every day.
Well, I've
If
even
I'm not
learned.
doing that, then I cannot actually do the highest level. So what I started to learn in my area is that they disrespected the healers and wanted to, oh, you should work for a low pay. Oh, you should. And I want to say, I will film what it takes to pull out long-term trauma. I filmed it on one of my videos for the rashes that came ancestrally. And then say, it'd be really easy to have a job where I just write a prescription. Here you go.
Yep,
Take that
here you
pill.
go, here you go.
Take that pill.
Well,
Take that.
even in my city, which I told you before, it was a little town growing up. They've extremely expanded too fast. And in the southern end of the town, a girl I've known my whole life, her house and everybody else had to get evacuated because their houses were sinking. And they were emitting gas into the air, and she now has CO2 poisoning from the way they've done the construction in this town. And she shows video of them coming and working on it at night to make it look like it didn't actually happen, even though she speaks out about it a lot because it's her house
Good
and
for her.
she's very, very ill now, right? And this is where I started to notice it because this has been within the last 6 months. And she shows them doing it at night to cover up that they're actually fixing it because they don't want to say that it even happened. And that's just in a small town. So I couldn't imagine in like a whole state how much is really going on.
So, I mean, so that's one tangent, but like when it comes to my story of sugar addiction, my mother, I would see her in the kitchen eating a chocolate cake in the morning, and it became the family joke, which when you look back, sometimes, especially men use humor to cover up emotional pain or a situation they don't know or have the toolkit to deal with. So joking became a real big thing of cover up for me. But inside, it wasn't a cover up. I was like mirroring my mom, and my mom was in severe pain. And why was she acting out to her own daughter? So sugar was really the go-to for all of us as a family system. And it wasn't really until the last 6 years that I really tackled the food industry in America, the glyphosate, the fact that everything has cane sugar in it, the fact that you can't go anywhere without, cane sugar everywhere on it. But before that, I didn't even know I had an addiction. It was just I'm eating sugar all day. And it wasn't really until I started to address the energy and the emotions inside of me, like you have to go in medical meditations, that I started to go,
Dig
oh,
it out.
I'm angry. I'm going to the kitchen to eat sugar. Oh, I don't know how to communicate because this person won't talk to me. I'm going into the kitchen to eat sugar. So I started to piece together, I'm using sugar the way my mom's using sugar to numb the frontal cortex of the brain.
I did the same thing because my mom used to drink at 9 a.m. and I never thought anything was wrong with that because I never seen anything different from my childhood. So I would have friends come over and they would see me drink at 9 a.m. and they'd ask me why. And I figured it out was mostly because I get anxiety from being hungover. Really, really bad anxiety. So I wanted to stay intoxicated for as long as possible so that I didn't have to feel the anxiety. And I'm just trying to run from the anxiety that was trauma put instilled in me as a child through my mother and the way she made me feel very anxious all the time. So it all, I pieced it together that way. The same as like how you started piecing it together because you're like, well, why am I doing this? A. And then where did it come from? B, and how do I resolve it? C,
That was a great way of putting it. And so Then being I trained as a professional dancer, I had a Broadway career, as you saw, you mentioned, the theater arts. So discipline wasn't an issue for me. I was that was the one bonus of that upbringing was the training. So I was disciplined in detoxing. I was disciplined in investing in a water system, a medical grade water, which started to get me to cry because I was very frozen. I had a lot of brain damage. And all these tools that people can read about. But then came another issue that I think is more important because you can go on my website, see the ebooks and all that. But I realized once I started cleaning everything up in my house, my small little home and me, that I had to go out into the world and that every restaurant really didn't have healthy choices and they weren't cleaning their food with clean water. And then everybody's eating sugar all day in front of me. And I'm like, oh, and then it's not that I didn't have the discipline. Like I would bring my own water literally and drink it. It's that everybody would look at me like, what are you doing?
Well, it's funny because I worked in hospitality for about 20 years or so, and it was the same kind of thing because I didn't drink anymore and stuff, and it was looking like people looking at me like, oh, why aren't you having a drink after work? Oh, why aren't you? Because they
Right.
put up food like fries and stuff for you to eat and bread all day. And oh, why aren't you eating anything? Like, are you anorexic? No,
Right.
I don't want to be eating salty, salty fries and bread all day. So I
Right.
totally
And
get
for
what you're saying.
me, with all the trauma, just a little bit of those toxins adds on because we know when you have abuse in your tissues and bones, you're more acidic to cancers and you lose life. Unfortunately, you can lose 25 years of your life. We're supposed to be living so much longer. So for me, I was aware of all this education. And so it was a choice of like, no, I want to get healthy. Like my whole mission was I want to get healthy. But man, we have a community and a system that's really like they'll do an event. Like you said, they'll do a one day event. Let's do a wellness event. But even the wellness events here, half the stuff is toxic. You know what I mean? And you're like, oh my gosh, where's the healthy stuff? And then so I start teaching, I start doing water testing and this and that. And I have really the leaders looking at me as if, what are you doing?
Well, the girl I just talked about, that was her job at construction sites, was to test the water. So the fact that she had gotten the CO2 poisoning it from her house sinking and everything, it just was so ironic because that was her job for so many years, was to test the water and test the soil and everything. And then she ends up getting poisoned in her own backyard. It was crazy.
That's deep.
I
That's
feel
really
bad for
deep.
her. And she's Native American, so I'm always like to her, why don't you just move? We're right beside the reserve. Why don't you just move with your mom back out on the res? At least you're away from the city, you're back with your culture. She now, because she can't work because of the poisoning, she makes moccasins and sells them, and that's how she gets by. And I'm like, why don't you go out there and be more peaceful? But it's hard when you've lived in the same house for your whole life to leave. So she's struggling with that. But the fact that that was her job was to test the water and test the ground, and she got poisoned from her own property, and the city won't admit that this has happened and fixes it at night. It just really shows us what our government is doing to us. And I, like you said, you've dug deep into it, and I can only imagine the things that you've seen because we don't get to see. They hide it from us as a public.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you shared that so that my audience can hear that. Thank you for that because I think it there's a lot of stories of cover up with water corruption, and she was so brave in some senses to be acknowledging it. But the problem is if we don't acknowledge it with a team, they
Yeah,
come at
she's
you.
just one person, and
They come at the one person every
nobody else
time.
wants to go on her street. They're all elderly. Nobody wants to go and fight this, or. So she's just one person in a small town fighting for her rights, which, in this big scheme of things, it's not it's not gonna help. There's
No,
it's
no, you're right. And in a big scheme of things, they're going to take her out because they're hurting her immune system just by fighting. If she's
yeah.
got to fight this bat, like that's where I kind of got to, like with so many different things. Like There is a point where you do need to just, you got to take care of yourself. And there are certain things that I'm not doing right now in my business because if I don't have the team to support me, I know what could come at me. And
Well,
that's
that's why
not
I stopped
smart.
the healing business because it was taking too much of my, like you know what I mean, like my internal energy, and I wasn't as present as I should have been with my family because I was taking on so much of everybody else's energy that I had to step back
Yep.
and take a break from it because it was, I just couldn't handle it anymore. And then I'm glad I did because a lot of other traumatic things happened afterwards, which I won't get into. But if I was still doing that business on top of it, oh man, I would be like a ghost walking around and no
That's
energy.
how I was in my second dark night, so I completely understand. And these stories, people in the public are too busy and too stressed out to understand. But what the battle is that, like for me personally, I also saw like probably over 12 like really solid healing centers in the city of Pittsburgh leave, or like you said, quit. They moved to a different state, but they didn't go back into the healing arts. Some great healers that never went back as healers. Because they're burnt out, you're tired of being sucked dry, not being appreciated, and it's like it people don't even comprehend it. You know, they don't understand it. And my mission now within my speaking and my books is if we're going to have, you know, train people to be trauma coaches, they need to be the highest paid and they need to work maybe 4 days a week, but that one day off needs to be all healing for them. If they're not doing healing work for themselves, then we cannot have them as healers. And that has to be put in the system. I was a big advocate at the end of like my senior, I worked for senior homes. I worked independently in a lot of jobs, which was great because at the time I thought, why can't I just work one job? But what the Divine Mother was trying to show me is all the systems have the similar problems.
Trying to show you where the gaps are, like I
Yeah, and they're very similar. So it doesn't matter if you're in a
and they
charter
stand
school or
out.
a senior home, and they stand out. And it's a patriot, it's a shadow masculine system that's been around. And women can have shadow masculine in them. So it's not just men, but yeah, it's a male shadowy system that took over at some point. And so what I started to be an advocate at the end of my senior was like, the caregivers, the people who are carrying you from one chair to another, they need wellness programs. They need medical grade water. They need this. They need they're hurt. Their backs hurt. They're being drained, like you said. What's their sickness productivity rate? You know, it just becomes like take a pill, check out. Take a
Take
pill,
a pill,
check
check
out.
out. Yeah, exactly. They're not entertaining them. They're not like one person I met, he went into old folks' homes and he would do a little comedy routine.
Yes.
And they started pushing him out of doing that because it was costing them money. And he's like, I'll even do this for free. I just want to see them, like, you know, oh, he's like, they
Yeah.
became alive, right? And
Yeah,
he said that
one
they pushed him out
they pushed
for
him
good.
out. We are one of the best assistants I had. She's originally from Africa. And I mentioned that only in the sense that they have a very different relationship with the elderly. They see them as sacred. And so she was a great teammate with me. I would come in and she'd tell me, okay, this person, this you're going to do this brain meditation, you're going to do this, and that. But she used to do the most creative, inventive engagement activities. And she was constantly being, the upper corporate was just totally not appreciating her, stressing her out. It just is like, why is this happening everywhere I go that the
Even like
healer or the woman
it's
with light is
that's just like
targeted?
a girl I did an interview with. She's Native American and she has a cleaning business and she cleans for free for elders. And while she cleans, the elders teach her about her culture. And I'm like, at least there she's appreciated
Yeah.
because she can control her business and
Yep.
do that. where this woman and you couldn't really control what the opera people are saying. So they're just taking, 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 taking to the point where you guys just either don't want to do it anymore because it makes you feel that way. I've felt like just a run through, like a drive-by healer. You know what I mean? Like,
A drive-by healer. That's a great way of putting it. And
healer,
it's also when you have seniors crying at you that they're being over-medicated and they have no advocate. It is heartbreaking. You walk out and you think to yourself, what is going on? As a private trauma coach, it got tricky for me as well. I had to start being more particular about my contracts. Like I literally had people sign contracts because people would come into the room and say, okay, we're going to work on insomnia. We're going to work on PTSD. And within two sessions, there is a list of other things that have to be worked on. Well, if you went to a doctor's, they would be billed for that.
Oh yeah.
But not me. It's like, oh no. Like, and so I started to have to switch over on that as well because it's like, oh my gosh.
Take
And then
advantage
I
of
became
them.
a target for their family too. Fix the person in the room
Yep.
and the family hates you. You know, or the husband, because now the woman has a voice, or she's now becoming her true identity. It's a tough, tough,
Oh yeah. People,
tough
and even the
business.
clients might get mad at you sometimes because things don't happen the way they might want it to happen, and having to tell them that they don't necessarily like that either. I had a woman who would ask me the same question about 10 times a day, and she would pay me for it, but 10 times a day, same question and same answer every single day. Eventually, I had to say, I can't do this anymore. It's sucking me. Like, I literally feel burnt out from this. I've told you already the answer a million times. I appreciate your service, but I just can't anymore. And I even have I did an interview with a guy. He's like a Canadian rock, like he's played with a lot of big bands and stuff like that, but he's actually also a psychic, but he doesn't tell very many people that because he takes very few clients on so that he doesn't have his energy abused and sucked out from him. And I
Smart.
learned a lot from him about that side of things off camera because he also, like he said, he doesn't want to be known for that so that people don't flood him with, oh, can you do me? Can you read me? Can you read me? So he was very private about it, but he taught me a lot of protection things. And basically, he said, once a person, say they're your friend, once a person asks you to do a reading for them, they become a client. And once they become a client, then you set up barriers and rules and how many times they can talk to you in a week, what they can ask you. He was very thorough. I was like, yeah. When I start up again, I have to be like this because otherwise I can't function. And it's because they're all have their own addictions. Like I said, with that woman, she's addicted to that man and she just wanted to know everything that she could
And
about him,
she really needs to do the trauma work,
about
the OCD
herself.
brain protocol, the childhood brain protocol. She needs to probably detox parasites and entities. And that takes self-discipline. You know, we need a whole different
Wanted it right now.
trauma.
And yeah,
Oh,
she wanted
yeah.
it right now, and you could
Yeah.
tell she said, I've had past bad relationships. No, you need to heal yourself before you even try this new relationship. But
Right.
that's the problem, and that's why I had a hard time navigating the healing aspect of business with that kind of stuff because I just didn't realize that so many people were going to be coming at me like in that way. So I did step back, and like I said, it really burnt me out. Like, I just didn't have the strength to do it anymore. I just don't
I
even now.
totally get it. I was just the same place. And I think when my father passed, I started to hear him from the angelic side. And that's what he was, he
My dad would
abandoned me.
tell me through the cards just to stop. He's like, you
He
don't.
started to train me with boundaries, like predators, especially when you have a predator client. But I was actually faced with, they will message you with a question. Like if you called a doctor for a question, that's $500 you're
Yep.
being billed.
I
Like,
told you
period.
this lady hasn't paid me at all, messaged me 7 times this morning. And like I
Right.
said, through reading my cards, my dad would tell me like the same things, like like you need to step back, like you need to change. I know you're afraid because you put some invested money into like this business, and I know you're afraid to lose it, but it's the eight of swords, which it means you are afraid of something, but you can take the mask off, and you're not actually bound by your anxiety. You're just anxious, but you can go through it. You know what I mean?
I think I'm learning a lot today from this conversation. It's kind of gone on a different thing, but what I'm gathering from like the information I've been getting in the last week is it seems that women who innately have more natural healing abilities, because we all come in with different skill sets. I think we all can be healers, but some have an innate from they're leaving the industry because it's not being valued, respected, appreciated, and we don't have a schooling for healers. To say this is like you go for a schooling in other professions and they're like, oh, you have to, we don't have that.
No,
So
we've
we're out
learned
in the
through
open,
other people.
right? We're all, and by the time you learn it, you're drained and you're on to the next thing. And I do relate to what you said, I hope you don't mind, like off, but like you're getting another career path to have financial stability
Because it
because
isn't.
what happens is it breaks your heart. Like you don't deserve to just suck yourself dry to heal people who are just like they're, it's like a turning wheel that never changes. Like you and I can see that's just, I can see my community has gotten a lot worse. So I did not get the business team I wanted to build the systems that I wanted. And I've seen the results of it. It means that we have more mental health illness. We have more, and I don't mean to be negative, but if I'm going to be a leader and a voice, I have to be practical. I have to see the stats and I have to say, this is what I've dealt with. And no one has stepped in to help. No one has stepped in to have these conversations. And now we've lost all the great women healers because of this. And that is an addiction in itself, an addiction to the shadow masculine system.
Well, even the last time I did a show, and it made me never want to do it again, the man who ran it, I could feel the negative, the man who ran the psychic fair, I could feel his energy. And it was so bad. It was so negative and it's so overly masculine, thinks he's better than me. He also just had a negative energy about him, right? And I never did a fair after that because he just, something about him, I could feel this energy. I've never felt energy like before. And that's the energy you're talking about. And that's why I just literally couldn't do it anymore. I was like, this is just, no, I can't be around these kind of people. And that's exactly what you're saying. And it's not right because people, I think, especially when it comes down to addiction and trauma, need to do this kind of internal work. You know, and when you lose good healers because of the way they've been treated, it's not fair for people who can actually use these practices to help them.
So where I'm headed with my books and selling my programs on my store is I'm headed to trying to find one or two leaders that say, okay, I'm going to fund this. And I don't want to like work in trauma the rest of my life because I've done my duty. But I'll be a director or and say train, and this is what we're going to do so that you have a system. And if not, I'm okay with going on and doing professional speak. Like I'm okay with letting it go because there's only so much you can do, you know? And so if you're listening to this today, I think one of the messages we as women can say is that if you do have a healer, maybe now you're looking at a different lens that you don't know what their journey's been in this society that doesn't appreciate and value healers. And maybe, maybe you can give them a card during, a different season or an extra little gift just to say thank you without them asking for it. Or maybe you're somebody that does have power in a corporation or organization. I'd love to have a conversation with you. How do we implement new water systems? How do we implement brain protocols? Because brain protocols to me are the game changer of a long-term empowerment. And this is something that we start to, and I think they should be in schools for children. I think So that was one thing that mothers are great at this. They start to rewire their brain. They want their kids to be, okay, do this medical meditation. And you start to see the empowerment in the family system again. So these are the messages, sort of, I think that you and I are sending, but we have the common thread of we've had these traumas and these hardships, and we've had financial things happen, throughout the, systems and this and that. And you just have to look around and you have to assess, especially for you as small children. Your energy in that household is everything to them. So I congratulate you to going back to school and getting a degree and getting some something that feels secure to you. That is, I commend you for that.
Well, thank you. It's not my first time, but I went back to school for things that were not very lucrative. I just finished doing a travel agent, getting my travel agent's license. A lot of people book online. There's not very many jobs there. There are people, my aunt's in that industry, and she said like everybody in her place basically has lost their job. That's like low seniority. Only reason she still has a job is because the doors are still open. And that's what made me switch to accounting, where I know that that's going to be around for a much longer. Plus, just the fact that you can work in the bank, you don't necessarily have to be an accountant. You can be a teller, start off at the bottom, work your way up throughout it, but at least it's something that's finite. So like I have other college degrees, but they're not ones that are necessarily lucrative, or they're not fully finished. So it's like, well, I want, I because I like knew I couldn't work in that industry. Do you know what I mean? Like, for instance, I took child and youth. Once I got into doing the actual co-op and going in and seeing like the foster care system, I knew I couldn't take somebody's children away. When I did police foundations, I seen all the horrible, horrible masculinity, like you said, and how, oh, it was horrible. It was just a men's club, so I knew I couldn't do that. And then, I did the travel agent, and I was like, well, that's not lucrative. So now I'm doing accounting. So I'm a student long term. I've taken a lot of different courses, but in that sense, it's just part of my journey of trying to figure out where I fit in, I guess you could say, because trial and error and knowing that you can't work a job is important. Like, I could never take somebody's children away. And even if it was so bad, I would be like, oh, I will help you get sober and help you work with these kids. But like, I just wouldn't be able to have the mentality to hurt somebody like that, because I can feel their pain. So I can't do things like that. So working behind
Wow,
a desk
you really
quietly,
are like
okay.
an empath and a healer, because healers have to feel emotions. They have to. You can't be a
It's
healer if you're not
hard.
feeling. It's very hard.
I've been diagnosed agoraphobic because I have a hard time leaving the house. Ever since I met that man, I have had these weird, I don't know. I can pick up on things now so much, like the darker things that I couldn't before. And it makes me, I don't know, when I leave the house, I just feel like other people's energy so much more strongly. When it's negative masculine energy, and then it puts me in that, I don't know, it just, I freak out and I want to go home. I can't be around it anymore. I don't know what it is.
No, I
He
get
just
it. You
turns me
know,
up.
I'm hearing one of my angels pipe in. Would you like to learn, if you don't, I mean, you can say no. Would you like to learn a meditation today? Okay. So we're going to teach our audience a meditation that I talk about a lot in my books and one of my songs, and it has tons of brain longevity and stuff like that. So we're just going to deal with the basics today. I'm going to put my hands up so you can see my hands, but they can be on your lap. Once we do the meditation, you're going to press on your pointer first. So we have sa, ta, na, ma. And then you take an inhale. Sa, ta,
No.
na, ma. Inhale. Sa, ta, na, ma. So, like I said, your hands can be on your lap, and now I'm going to chanting is just using a monotone voice. We don't move the vocals up and down because we are hypnotizing through our own voice our red blood cells. And we're using these universal sounds, which work on the frontal cortex of the brain, which helps with mental focus, mental clarity, helps calm the system down. So this gives you a little introduction into brain protocols that I work with. So I'm going to do it a little bit with the audience and you. So you take an inhale. Satanama. Satanama. Satanama.
Satnama.
Satanama. Satanama. And once you have it, you really want to do it by yourself or with your family. You can do it with your kids. It's great to do it in the evening. Being consistent, 3 minutes every night builds habits. Working up to 11 minutes is a master number, a master time. So, and you can set, okay, at 8 p.m. every night, we're going to do this meditation together, Satanama, or by yourself to help
Daughter
sleep.
loves yoga, so I'm going to be doing it with her before I
Good.
even get you off. But yeah, that
Yeah, good. So it
that's
helps with
super.
a deeper sleep, which is important for healing, dealing with problems and stress the next day. So that just gives you a little introduction. So brain protocols deal with breath patterns, sounds, universal sounds, different finger placements. And what they're really doing, it's kind of like a dance or a singing class or a martial arts class, but we're using it to heal PTSD, OCD, childhood trauma, is you're becoming your master self, your master healer. And I'm just guiding you. Sometimes I guide with pitches and tones because the lower notes deal with lower chakras, the higher notes deal with higher chakra, like your higher self, your, oh, I'm disconnected from my higher self. So
Yeah.
it just deals with that. That's how the theater arts comes in. But I wanted to give people at the end of this talk, because we're talking a lot about what we need to move into, how we empower, also rephrasing healers, things, and just sort of how do we start to teach others to become more empowered and healing, as opposed to addicted to social media, addicted to someone else fixing it for us all day long, things like
Yeah.
that. I think that that's been our message.
I do too, especially the fixing the things for you and just going and getting a prescription instead of actually putting in the work into your own health, your own mental health, your own like physical health even realistically, because the medication just junk on top of junk. So, but before I let you go, is there any last words you have for everybody? Like, what is the name of your website? Because I can't put it in the description for the show.
Sure. So it's www.heatherannferry, FERRI.com. So it's my full name, Heather Ann Ferry. And on my website, you'll just start to get a taste of my background. I would encourage you to download the or upload the Water Matters book and read it and see if that could be one tool to upgrade in your house. There's clean water, then there's medical grade water. What's the difference? Just having clean water, especially in the United States, we want to get out arsenic and forever chemicals. Forever chemicals is not in water in the rest of the world as much as it is in the United States. I just want to state that.
Oh,
At least
really?
that's what I've heard so far,
Because I
but
know
maybe I'm.
Canada, we have the oil fields, so I know that our water can't be the cleanest either because of all the oil in Vancouver and stuff, right?
Interesting. If you go onto that ebook and decide to get what I would call, I believe, one of the best filters for clean water, I do provide a 5% discount, which, it's a really cost-effective filter system. I've studied water for about 12, 15 years now. So I have it. I would have something different if it was better, that type of thing. So my website introduces that. If you're somebody that has a business or organization and you want to talk about having me come in to talk or do a brain program, even at some point, Jasmine, we could do that with your audience. We could provide a 4-week Zoom PTSD, brain program where they
That would be
pay.
great.
Yeah, we could talk about that, and they pay, and we actually start to be the change, you know, and maybe that's partly how you have more income and I have more income and we help people with this program. So there's all types of possibilities. If you're really interested in like just understanding like more about ancestral water history, I'd say follow my Facebook page because I'm pushing some buttons because we used to have healing water in the state of PA. We had healing water in a lot of areas in the United States that was destroyed. So we need to question who destroyed the medicine on the land.
Here, my best friend growing up, her father had a water cleaning company, and what's it called? Oh, so there's this place called Walkerton, and the poo got into the water, and her dad had to go and clean out the water and everything. So I've actually been around people that I've actually been around that
Yeah.
aspect of clean water, and she works with her dad now, and like it is definitely a lot to it and a lot of education. Like you said, how long you've been working on it even like, and it is a lot of understanding that we aren't just given as the public. So, I
No.
definitely, I definitely would be down to do some work and even like brain work, breath work,
Yeah,
meditation, anything.
I would love for you to read the ebook and
I
maybe
want to read the ebook
we
because
can
I.
talk about that personally because the ebook's a little bit more
Yeah.
scientific because my audience is so scientific, so I give references, go check this out for
Yeah.
PubMed because electrolyzed reduced water has more PubMed research than anything else in regards to water and healing and diabetes and
Well,
cancers, but
I also
yeah.
run three support groups, right? And I'm going to bring this aspect up to the women in my support groups for like their for grief, addictions, and it's families of people with addictions, and just having that aspect of being able to cleanse your body, cleanse your mind,
Well,
even without that.
you'll love the company. So there's two companies I work for, and that's a whole other discussion we can talk about on another podcast. But the mothers and the grandmothers are really taking storm in Hawaii and Canada, actually, and in the United States. And I just think it's because we understand that Mother Earth is mostly water. And it's incredible the stories. I mean, if you go on my website, you're going to see before and after pictures. I look a lot younger. Water was the foundation. Medical grade water was the game changer for me. I do not think I would be at this place, even with the brain protocols and the shaking. Because when you're shaking trauma out, you're building acid. How are you detoxing acid if you're drinking toxic water, if you're drinking acidic water, if you're drinking what we label dead water? You don't want dead water. You want alive water.
Well, our
So,
water is it's a very oh, what is it called? It's like it calcifies. So it's very rich in calcium. So you have to change, like you have to get new taps like every year because of the calcium builds up that much. So you know that it's not the cleanest, and like that's how that girl got started by being able to say, well, look at my taps, look at them at night. Like, you know what I mean? She
I
was
want
able
to say one more thing before I know we have to finish because you've all the women touch upon the water thing right now, and there's not a coincidence. But I want to say this to we've talked about money. We've talked about disrespect to healers and we're talking about water. Me and Jasmine will do another show, I'm sure, on this stuff.
Oh,
But I
yeah.
want to plant this seed. The people who own billions of dollars market to you every day products that don't work. You don't even know the lawsuits happening in Vegas on bottled water, filtered water, because you're too busy. But I do. Now, here's the thing. You consume them. I know because I walk around seeing all the plastic bottles everywhere that, and you consume filters that don't work. We're the little guy. We're the one that gets a little paycheck when you buy off of us. But guess what? It makes a big difference. That's how you change the game. And people aren't doing that enough. They're not taking what I do seriously and they're poisoning themselves. But it's like this mentality of like, oh my gosh, you know, well, you're getting a paycheck. I'm in a company The one company's been around for 53 years and has more certifications and is actually trying to get government to regulate more. And the other company's been around 65 years. They're not going anywhere. But here's the deal. I sit across from men who have sick children and they tell me about a product. I'm not going to say the name, that is making billions of dollars. It is in a container and they've actually notated on the internet that it is dead, not even good water, and they're doing witchcraft with it. You better really start to think about the energy when you put your dollar at work.
I know what that one's called. I've seen all the little memes come up. I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's a big thing in the States. I don't think we have it here in our stores, but it's a big thing in the States.
And you know why it's a big thing? Because a really huge influencer is drinking it and promoting it. And how much money are they making behind closed
Oh
doors?
yeah, well it's like the Kardashians. They wear something, oh that's it, right? Their hair, everything. And same if they're drinking a monster, oh now I'm drinking a monster. Like that's
Right.
healthy,
And so
right?
it's like fascinates me because here I put this ebook together and then I have another book that I'll share with you. You'll be fascinated with it. That I only give to people who buy my medical grade, the medical device, because it's all the years of protocols. When you have strep throat, utilize this water, gargle, and it's dead in 5 minutes. When you have this,
My
utilize
husband's
that.
like he
It's
that
like,
he's crazy about that kind of stuff. It's funny that you say that because he is an advocate for that kind of stuff when he's sick, the water and everything, and like different types of gargling, all that stuff.
well, does
That's
he
a
know how to plumbing?
he
Because we need plumbers on board, man. We need, I've tried to get.
probably could teach himself. He taught himself how to do a lot of other things, but that's the one thing he hasn't done yet. He's literally done like every other job he could.
Yeah, I was really close to having a
I
big
have friends that
company.
are plumbers, but we're Canadian, right? I would be like, Josh, I'm gonna send you down to Pennsylvania.
I know I can't, but you could use them. But I've been trying to. I had a really big company, and I thought I was going to have a system in place because you know it's easier when you have a system and not just the healer telling you, and you have a plumbing company that could come in and do it for you. And because there's two systems, and then the son of the father-son company, he quit. He left a family business of 100 million a year because of a lot of issues. So I lost out on something that could have really helped a lot of people. So you got to understand, like, you know, if you have a plumbing company, especially in Canada, we got to make that happen. You know, I could talk to you about that, but that's it's important because these systems, what I learned is the construction plumbing companies, they don't really have education on what you're looking for filters. They know the water's bad, they know the tap water's bad, but they don't get training, which I think is shocking to me. And then doctors don't get training. And of course, you go to a hospital and they have vendors of all the machines. You know who's bought into the hospitals when you look at the vendor machines. You basically know who owns that hospital. That's all I have to say.
Oh yeah, I 100% agree. We're out of time for today,
Yep.
but we are going to definitely be doing a part two. That should be coming very shortly
Yeah, we
because
should do a
I
meeting before that. But
yeah,
yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
we are gonna do a part two because I think there's a lot more that we can talk about and stuff. So I'm going to say goodbye for now, and I will see
Yep.
you very shortly. Thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
Bye.